in the previous, we know exactly in the end, okay, this is, it has to be there.
Yeah, in the previous, the guy's phone actually got smashed by one of the henchmen.
Oh, really?
This is the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. A podcast dedicated to raw action analysis.
Ooh, my gosh. For fans of action cinema out there, how badass would that be?
Each week, we bring you a new action filmmaker to break down your favorite scenes.
360 off person, round kick the guy from a 360 spin.
Now, introducing your hosts, Darren Tun and Mike Messina.
Hello and welcome back to the Action Filmmaking Decoded Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Tun, and with me is my co-host, Mike Messina.
Hello.
This is the second episode of Shang-Chi Week. We are bringing you part two of Joseph Lei and Vidan Tran. And then Friday, we got Andy Chang dropping, so stay tuned for that. Just a little bit about our guest today, if you haven't listened to part one yet. Joseph Lei and Vidan Tran, both known for their action design work in Shang-Chi, as well as dope indie action videos. Joseph Lei's work includes Mulan and East Side Story, Afro Samurai Champloo, and many martial club videos. Vidan Tran is on the Jackie Chan stunt team. His credits include The Foreigner and Bleeding Steel, as well as Into the Badlands. His fan films include Cyberpunk 2077, Phoenix Program, and Darth Maul Apprentice. Mike, what were some big takeaways from this episode?
I mean, all the Shang-Chi stuff was awesome, but just the raw passion for Spider-Man as a character.
Oh my gosh.
And everything about Spider-Man was awesome. We talked about, you know, Spider-Man game trailer that just dropped. We talked about matchups between the different cinematic Spider-Men from the different actors. It was It was a lot of Spider-Man energy. It was a good time.
Yeah. Especially coming in knowing how big of a fan Vidan is of the Spider-Man franchise. It was really, really cool to talk about it with him especially. And then like that whole thing where we did the 5-second fight club in this, where you'll see we did a mashup between Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and Tom Holland. And it was really interesting to see their answers for the best Spider-Man and who would win that battle.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then, you know, for the Shang-Chi part, which is probably why we
most people
in the
here,
first
yeah.
place. Yeah. To me, hearing about their previs process and how many iterations they went through and how many different ways you're going through the previs process, depending on what the scene is. So using different techniques for the scaffolding scene that they were a part of versus for the bus scene and how those changed depending on what was needed.
Yeah, there's so much in this episode, as well as some versions of the bus fight scene that didn't make the final cut. So you guys will have to stay tuned.
I haven't heard about what iterations came before. And not just like, oh, this move was different, that move was different.
Right.
But the beats of the story and the character were different in previous iterations. That was awesome to hear.
Yeah, and especially since they said like they had 70 different iterations or something like that. And
yeah, everyone just cites, it's one of those things like, what is one iteration? They kind of just pull numbers from their head like, oh yeah, 50, it's like 70, 60, 80, whatever.
Yeah, so that was really awesome. And we also touch on some of their indie stuff as well. Especially the thing I remember is Vidan's Cyberpunk Phoenix Program short, the way he talked about Johnny and how he designed his fighting style, how he worked with Ben. A lot of that is in here, as well as the jujitsu moves that he used in there too. Mm-hmm. Like the robotic arm at the end of that fight where he did the rear naked choke. That was really cool.
Yeah. How they made it before the game dropped. They just saw that trailer that came out a while ago.
That's true.
And then they just like mined the internet for any information they could and made a 40-minute short about it without having played the game.
Yeah, they didn't know any information at all about the Cyberpunk, or they knew some things, I would say, not nothing, but they knew some things about it, but not to the extent to which they created that world and that whole entire fan film and all the stuff that they did. And then it's crazy because the game actually comes out and Vidan actually nails a lot of that world building and a lot of those characters
and then the Japanese saw.
Yeah, this thing,
and then they're like, oh yeah, that works. We'll just put that in the game. And
oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. A lot to cover in this episode. And without further ado, here is Vidan Tran and Joseph Lei.
You have the wrong guy. Does he look like he can fight? Come on, bro.
You okay?
We hear a lot about the behind the scenes, I think, for the bus sequence. And I know you guys were a big part of that. Can you tell me about the fighting specifically that happens there, especially in that confined space of the bus?
It's a loaded question because the bus fight actually went through like 50 iterations.
Yeah.
And that's like the first ever time we see the unmasking of this superhero who was used to be a, you know, deadly assassin. We went through a lot of like different character fighting style mm-hmm. explorations. One of the first like previses was like Shang-Chi trying to hide the fact that he could fight because, you know, we have people on the bus with the iPhone rolling and he didn't want Katie to be so surprised. So he wanted to defend himself without making it so obvious that he used to be an assassin. So at first in the fight, he was like going behind people's back and like shoving them, pushing them off and evading. And then the character arc, well, in my opinion, was when Katie got hurt later on in the fight, other passengers' lives were at stake. And I think that's when he kind of had to channel his inner assassin. And early on, we knew like the rings were involved. So of course that deals with Hung Gar or Hung Chun. And mm-hmm. so early like fighting styles, we did that and we mixed it with some parkour elements in the bus. And yeah, you want to pick up on that?
The bus was like a really long process and really long. Again, they had like over 25 or six versions.
It wasn't just like a one-on-one fight, you know, it was like we had to balance three action scenes going on at the same time, like a crazy bus chase, hand-to-hand combat, and like, you know, when Shang-Chi was outside the bus and trying to like dangle off of it and try to get to the other side and push all the bad guys to the back so that they can, you know, separate the innocent people, and like, it's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many stuff that are happening at the same time. That was the biggest conflict or biggest problem for us not to solve. Also, the situation with Katie, and then they don't know how that he can fight, and he's still trying to disguise through all his stuff, you know, to hide it. And then the driver got in trouble, and then we have to save the bus, and so on. Mm-hmm. And but first of all, yeah, we have to give a shout out to Andy Chang, because he was the fight coordinator, and he, most of the time, he lead the scene, right? Mm-hmm. And he made up all the stuff, and he's like very flexible, very adapting. And Brad was always exploring more styles, more different, never seen before any something, right? So we went sometimes from Jackie Chan style to Donnie Yen style to Bruce Lee style. We went to other style, and all of a sudden, Grandmaster style. Okay, we go back. We do no style.
Rumble in the Bronx.
It's very hard to find. Okay. We cannot put there and do it some Donnie style or Rip Man, right? We couldn't do it. So because all of us say, it's Donnie Yen. That's Jackie Chan. So Brad wants to know, we have to define the style for Shang-Chi. Mm-hmm. So we explore so many styles. And they end up at also Silat with the elbow, you know, some trap stuff. We put some reference from Jackie with the jacket. It was developing. Yes, exactly what you guys heard and read in the article. It's true. Andy and also Brad took the privilege, of course, to reference Jackie's style.
Yeah, because that's where we all come from.
It's a homage. And I think also it's just a nice positive effect because of Andy and Brad, and not even me because I'm too young. I'm the age generation. I have nothing to say. But for them, because they grow up so like 20, over 20 years with them, with Jackie. They are allowed to, right? So we did like all the funny moments, the parkour, slick motions, and it was said they're based on first eyes Hung Gar, Na Hun Chun. That's the first, and then we explored, we add a little bit to make it a little bit different.
Yeah, but what I thought was interesting about the fight was the fact that other people's lives were at stake and he was trying to save people, and that's like a very superhero thing to do, but it was like wrapped in this martial arts umbrella.
And it was one thing, a good story. I remember when I came over to the bus, so the bus was already in LA. They started first, right, in LA, like a month before.
And actually Brad Allen, he spent his own money to do the previs before the previs for 2 weeks.
Wow. Before the actually, pre-previs?
Yeah, because
the pre-previs,
really wanted to be super prepared.
Yeah, super prepared. Yeah. And then I came over and then took in Australia and in Sydney my part as an action designer for the bus. And I felt like everyone's already like, oh, okay, you go to bus, okay, have fun. Because everyone born, they don't have really opinions. Like, oh, you got a new guy. Okay.
Already, I had PTSD entering that bus. Yeah. After like, I was like, not this pole again. Oh, not this seat. Oh.
It's okay. It smells like a little like a mechanic, the engine. Engine. Because it's
all yeah.
It was dusty too.
So dusty. So it's like, damn, every day.
Really?
But it's so fun. I came, have fun with that. Go. Because like, it's like a tech team, you know? Slap and I go into it. And I was like, and then I came back, guys. I don't want to be the bus. Yeah. Like, we have to always go back.
The bus felt like Thanos, and like each Avenger was like going there with their special move.
Like, yes. Yeah.
And, your turn.
Yeah. It was so funny. Palm was also bad. It was okay. Palm, you go in. It was, why me?
Why me? Yeah.
Palm was like, I'm busy with the final fight.
So it is really a mix of everyone. So it's not like, okay, it's my design or it's only Joseph's design. Everyone involved.
Yeah. We didn't care as long as it got approved at the end, you know.
And but the funny thing is, like, in terms of the bus and the small environment, right? And was it difficult or not? But I remember once I was there and Brett told me, hey, don't be too restricted to yourself, okay, with the camera. But yeah, but there's chairs, don't worry. Then we remove the chair. But then there's a wall. Don't worry. We cut the wall again.
But there's a bus.
I thought that guy, he was joking around, right? But then all of a sudden, there's a shot, you know, with the mirror when he sees him when he's driving, right? And then the razor fist comes, right? He said, yeah, I had to go over. I said, okay, but that's the, I'll say, the pillar, right, from the car. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. The next day, they cut it off. I said, damn,
no limits.
Yeah, I was like, okay, fine. Yeah. So there's in the car, in the side, you know, in your front window, there's the pillar, right?
Yeah.
The whole car.
Frame.
Oh my gosh. So I came over all the way with the camera, and they just did it. And that was amazing, like this kind of freedom. For the shot, he would do everything. And then also we came up with fast track. There's one part where the camera's very fast, right? Going through the seats, and he's doing the parkour stuff. Same, we did like a rail and then a fast track.
You and Mark Ginther did that.
Mm. And he had the PlayStation controller and the Roland, and just holding and trying to control the camera.
PlayStation controller. Wow.
Yeah, you know, like with the Roland.
Yeah,
you can control the PlayStation controller.
Oh, okay, got it.
And then because the camera went very fast through the to the seats.
Yeah. And there's no way you could have done that by yourself because you would have hit the other stunt performers.
Yes. And also the seats. I cannot jump over the seats.
And
so they made up like a big fast track on the top. We mounted like upside down, and we could just like a sit line.
Yeah.
But it made also in the movie, and it was a great shot because like you haven't seen this before, right? This kind of action
pushing it to the next.
That's awesome.
We also developed like so many crazy kicks, like triple kicks or like a kick and then a backflip to another kick. Mm-hmm. But somehow the simplest kick got approved in the end. And for us, like it's like ABC, like kindergarten, like but somehow everyone, the public loved it in the trailer and it's so iconic.
Yeah.
So it's just funny how something simple and clean is just, you know, the money shot.
That was good. It was really good.
That was going to be my next question because I know you guys said you did like 70 iterations or something like that or different kinds of takes. I'm wondering, did you have any favorite parts that were kind of cut out that you can talk about now? Or
Vidan made like a... his previous cut has like 2 minutes of even more fight choreography.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That was very long, actually. It's very, very long. I think one
time. It's kind of like the Hong Kong edition.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. It's very hard to say because we had like really, I think even you guys in LA, there were some really good ideas and I haven't seen before. Sometimes you have like a film and you watch it.
Jaquan.
Yes. Yeah. The thing is like sometimes the choreography. Choreography is sometimes, I would say, it's very hard to judge what is good and what's bad, right? Mm-hmm. Because a punch is a punch. A block is a block. It's very hard to define, okay, if you like this block or you this block. Same thing. Same vision, right? But sometimes when you watch a scene with the pace and rhythm and then the motivation, you get like very excited. Like, damn, that's good, right? And we had some good ideas, I feel. Even with Jay, Even with Andy, when he did some other stuff, you know, like where it looked really stupid. I never seen this before. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, how did he do this, right? Mm-hmm. So cool. But it could cut out because sometimes the whole package, sometimes mm-hmm. you have so many good stuff, all of a sudden everything's not good anymore.
Can't be married yeah. to choreo.
Yeah, exactly. You, yeah. you cannot mirror. So you take mm-hmm. all out and then keep only one. And so this one would be amazing. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. if everything's special, nothing's special anymore. So yeah. if you make yeah. like a build up mm-hmm. to that moment.
Not then, everything can be like a dubstep drop.
Yeah.
Bow,
yeah.
Bow,
yeah. Bow. Yeah. 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 Bow, bow.
Get so stressed. So it's kind of like one of the things we found like, yeah, okay. But it's very hard to decide because yeah. you make everything. And now it's like, okay, I don't know.
So hopefully we'll be able to see some of those things someday.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to.
If they let us.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Marvel allows, yeah.
Yeah, you said the Hong Kong edition before. I hope it's not Shang-Chi Extended Edition or Director's Cut. I hope it's Shang-Chi Hong Kong edition.
Hong Kong. Yeah, yeah.
That'd be good. Yeah, and so, yeah, just in general for the Shang-Chi project, are you guys a bit involved in pretty much every action scene, or are you very specialized in terms of, you know, two or three sequences or something like that?
Well, for me, I was involved with the Mandarin montage, like the opening fight scenes, starting the bus scene, and then supporting the bus scene when Bidan, Young Lee, Chris were on it. And then we were both involved with Andy Cheng in the auntie training sequence. Yeah. He did the brother-sister fight in the cage. Mm. And then we did some early explorations for the scaffold fight too.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I was like too. Some camera tests.
Yeah, how to combine like running Ronin shots to like crane shots. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then some storyboards I did for the ending dragon fight mm-hmm. and kind of like what would be Shang-Chi's like spirit bomb attack to defeat the dragon.
Yeah, the dragon.
Let's see. Spirit bomb.
I was kind of jealous because all the action designers were filming important sequences during the last leg of the run. While I was kind of like just doing 3D visual effects for Chris's rings or like storyboards for Young or like, I don't know, giving Bidan water. And then, so, dude, what can I do? And then, like, I was like, what is the most important thing that needs to be done right now? And that is actually like, oh shit, screen fighting practice for Simu. So over the weekend, Bidan encouraged me and also hopped on to a test fight that we shot with Simu. And then at the time, you know, we were very cautious. We didn't want to injure him, but we also wanted to like build up.
Fun.
Yeah, have fun, you know, bring it back to the indie roots.
Yeah.
And eventually, Brad saw the test fight. I thought I would be like fired because
using the main actor.
Yeah, he's like, "What is my purpose of using the main actor for clout or what?"
Yeah.
But it was just more for Simu to look at himself and improve. And then Brad actually took that test fight, that flavor, and put it back into the bus fight because he wanted.
That's what he said. Yeah, there was one moment in his.
I was just like, "Oh my god!"
He got very excited. He's like, "Hey." It's very hard to explain why, but just sometimes it's a moment, sometimes a pacing, a rhythm, then that's cool, right? But it's the same, again, cool is the same, but that's cool. And for him, Brad was like, hey, this is fun. Why is it not in the bus? And then we tried to put it in the bus scene.
Yeah.
And then I was like, hey, bus was like, damn.
Yeah.
Shit. I was like, what?
Brad.
His show was just doing stuff.
Yeah,
you said before.
Brad literally went on Premiere Pro and just slapped a segment of the bus fight into the previous.
Yeah.
I mean, a segment of the test fight into the bus. Yeah.
And so it made it in the previous lately, but I think it's not in the movie.
Not in the final cut. Yeah, but
it's shorter, just shorter.
Yeah.
For good. It's just for good.
Yeah. But yeah, it's always like the JC mentality of finding the fun and like searching for problems to solve and not waiting around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I drew the storyboards for the ending dragon fight. And because of that, actually Brad invited me to meetings with the producers and director and actually present my storyboards to them. And that was pretty wild for him to do that. And
nice.
Oh!
And how did the previs go for the scaffolding sequence?
That's mostly Peng Zhang's baby.
Peng Zhang. Okay. He did all of them because he did another movie in China, Azura. He did this kind of scale of action in like a 45-degree fall to fake a little bit. No? Yeah. It looks like he's straight.
And a lot of like parkour fighting. Yeah.
This is his. It's
crazy.
Crazy. Crazy. It's really crazy. Yeah. And he's a genius, right? Yeah. We really admire him.
And it's great to see him and Andy Chang. Like Andy, you know, infamous for the Rush Hour 2 scaffold fight and for like the two worlds to come together.
Yeah.
And
that's what we were going to bring up. Yeah.
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 It's amazing.
So many similarities.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they fleshed more of that out after we left. Mm-hmm. I think we were just a part of like early tests and exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They locked everything else after COVID. And while COVID happened, they locked mostly the other stuff, the heavy stuff, you know, like skull holding and the final. You know?
But Peter and Jesse Turner, they really killed it as the parkour
expert
specialists in the movie, and being able to take the Jackie Chan parkour stuff like even further for Shang-Chi. Mm-hmm. So big shout out to them.
Yeah.
They're from Australia.
Awesome. Yeah, I was going to ask about that too, because I heard there was some parkour sort of outside consultation coming in. But of course, that Jackie Chan style, you already have some elements of parkour and just creatively moving around the environment. And like you saw in the bus, you know, using the environment to inform the movements and the fighting. So that's interesting to hear about where those two worlds kind of meet and where that, I guess, sort of blurry line is, that divide between them.
When you go on internet, like in YouTube, there's so many parkour fights. Or the same like District 9, 13, sorry, right? Born on Chase. There's one movie with David Bell and Surya Rafieri. There's also a lot of parkour Jackie flavor, right? But I feel sometimes it's not the same, because especially in Shang-Chi, especially the parkour experts, and also Andy and Brad, what they created.
There's always a reason to do
exactly.
it. Yes,
exactly. There was always to me, like, why is doing this?
Like Shang-Chi, like nobody's driving the bus. I need to get there without hurting people. So I'm going to climb up and do that.
And also to void. If he does, sometimes Jesse does like move and Brad says, no, why? Why is he doing this?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Why is he spinning around 360?
Cannot. Just because it was cool? No.
It just looks cool.
So he makes a reason. So we put people in.
Yeah.
So
we
follow it. So it means that, okay, he has to do this.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
And he rotates this way because Razor Fist is swinging at him. Yeah. Like, so motivation.
He's filling, it's filling the spots, purpose. The acts, to make a purpose. Yeah. Same with the scaffolding. You see, there's no unnecessary movements, what he does. Mm-hmm. It has to be this way to save Katie.
Action, reaction, consequences.
And that's always the problem or the conflict to solve. And they made it very, very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And so, going back to that bus fight, we keep bringing up the passengers and how, like you said, it's a very superhero thing to want to save the people around you. And eventually we have that sort of comedic cutaway to Cliff, the guy with the phone recording. Is it a thought or a calculation in your head when you're designing the sequence? When are we going to cut away to this other beat within the story?
I mean, it wasn't in the script. It wasn't a script, right?
Remember
on the storyboard, I saw also there's the guy. There wasn't
cracking jokes on the side.
I mean, like, when it is, that will happen when we shoot. And I mean, okay, that's the spot. But for us, it's actually easy because there's always like a break. You know, when we have like a continual fight, sometimes we get lost. Okay, how can we go out from the scene? Okay, you know what? Just cut back to Cliff, and you can all of a sudden you just back somewhere else, and then you can cheat, you know, like time wise. But yes, in the previous, we know exactly in the end. Okay, this is have to be there.
Yeah, in the previous, the guy's phone actually got smashed by one of the henchmen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What a dick. That's kind of messed up. No need to do that. So did you know exactly, even like, I remember in the final cut, he's jumping up, he's grabbing onto the railings up top, and you can see that in Cliff's phone screen. Did you know down to the move what would be seen there?
Yeah.
Oh, he did like eight versions of that.
Yeah. I mean, we will lock it. Yeah,
I think Andy Chang was literally, he had his iPhone out, and then Yidan was like shooting at the iPhone.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then Yidan was like, Andy, keep it steady. And he's like,
I couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to hold it steady. Yeah. Good thing we have warp stabilizer in post.
Oh, yeah. That's nice Premiere stuff.
Macro shot, you know.
Yeah.
So many good memories in that bus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really funny. Really funny moments.
I'm keep running through in my head what it would look like between Shang-Chi and how he's going to integrate that fighting style against some other people. Do you have any thoughts as to what that mashup might look like?
Oh, Shang-Chi versus Venom Spider-Man is going to be lit. I hope there's a crossover like that. Yeah.
I know Simu Liu was talking about the storyline with, you know, developing the way of the spider with Spider-Man. So that crossover would be.
It had to be called.
Taking it on the rings or like taking a swing.
Spider-Man cap. You know, I don't know if you know, I'm a really, really big Spider-Man fan. I'm very a fanboy, you know. Because much of my friends love Spider-Man because in UK, I shoot in UK. I'm really a big fan of all of them. I love everything, right? Back then when I was younger, Spider-Man is my hero. And I told him, I think today, literally today, I
said that. When we're getting Starbucks or something.
I told him, hey, dude, I'm hoping, but it's the only way I can work with Spider-Man is eventually, in one of the sequels when Shang-Chi trains Spider-Man. I think then I can fulfill my dream to come closer to Spider-Man. You know, eventually, you don't know, right? It's a crossover. So that would be amazing. Yeah.
Because the Spider-Man stunt team is very.
Yeah, it's locked. Very locked.
And we're trying to.
Oh, I see.
Please get
it. Yeah. But you know, it's like, but I was always a little bit scared, you know, to work on a show because to be honest, like, Shang-Chi is, I think, this is the first time I really enjoy and really are proud of a project.
Actually, when we went to the movie theaters, two white girls came out and then they said the action scenes were like experiencing an orgasm.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Mission accomplished.
That's the best compliment you can get right there.
You know, when I work on Skyfall, for example, or in Six Underground, right? Those movies. Skyfall is okay. It's a Bond movie, okay? But the first time when I watched it, I was hyped because it's my first international movie. But when I watched it back, I was like, it's not the greatest. It's okay. It's okay, right? The movie's okay. Casino Royale, for example, is much better. Or Six Underground, I don't like it. Really like it. Huh? All those movies when I worked with, I was like, I'm very recruited because I read the script, I'm working on it, I have like memories, good and bad. But I don't know, right? But for Shang-Chi, after I was just mind blowing. I was like, damn, it's such a good movie. And I don't talk about the action. It's just the story, the character, the Tony Leung, like the whole relationship, everything, the acting. Yeah. It was just spot on. And I was like really impressed what Marvel and Disney, again, what they pulled out, you know, like everything. And then it works so well together. That's just flawless.
And it was like a proper honor or like reunion of all the things we loved and grew up on.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. There's no flaws. And I was like, I was really surprised and very like, crazy. But saying again, come back to Spider-Man, I'm always afraid to work on a show. When I work on a show for Spider-Man, all of a sudden I have like
this kind of experience. Yes,
You know, so this reason, I actually don't want to work on a Spider-Man movie, right?
Okay.
Because of that. Because I want to keep the heart.
Keep it pure
in the fan film.
To be honest, Spider-Man is for me really one of the best sequels.
Any thoughts on that trailer that dropped the other day?
He was like geeking out last night. He was like, "Oh my god!"
The video game one or the No Way
Home game one? Yeah.
Both were pretty awesome.
I'm a big fan of Venom, Black Spider-Man, Venom story, the all, those alien stories and the invasion. You know, the last comic of Amazing Spider-Man. You know those?
Yeah.
The series when the Carnage came to and the thousand of invasion, right? Like the Venom invasion.
Yeah.
It's my world. When I watched it, I was literally,
that was your orgasm.
Yeah. But then all of a sudden, 2023. What the fuck?
I have to wait that long.
face us now.
Oh my god.
Can you just wait a year later?
Yeah. Can I say? I don't know. Maybe you have to cut it out. Maybe I saw something on YouTube and I'm really, really, really regret I saw it on my first page. It's about the new No Way Home. And I saw something leaked out.
Oh, really? There's been a lot of leaks.
Was it a picture or a video?
No, a little video. It's like 3 seconds.
Of what? Don't say it.
Can I say it?
We don't want to know.
It was the trailer.
I saw it anyway.
Yeah. You will, I don't know if they cut it out. I don't know if it's true. That's the thing. But I just, oh, no.
Was it Toby?
What was it?
Andrew Garfield.
Oh, really?
Okay. It wasn't this guy right here. Yeah.
I'm hoping that you know in Top Secret, okay? I'm hoping that everyone goes in the cinema and we are dying, okay? Everyone's dying because you see all three Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
I'm really hoping. Because if they don't do it, if they won't do it, I think the movie will fail. Right, it's like
they have to at this point, right?
That's true. You can't live up to that hype unless you.
And I believe Marvel and M1 just shut down. No, it's very top secret. But I saw something just because I opened my home YouTube, and I saw a picture Andrew Garfield in a green screen, and it was not a shot of any of Amazing Spider-Man.
Really.
Mm-hmm. And he just little seconds like this. That's it. And then a lot of positive ranking. So normally, it's a fail, fake. But it's real. And he was also older, Andrew Garfield. It's not the Andrew Garfield that you saw already.
With the beard.
So it's like, damn, fuck, someone leaked a shot.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, shit.
Probably some PA who was like, had a bad day.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
When we're shooting at our movie now, we have all the footage, right? It looks like that. Because we have to see recording, we have to edit the movie, just always. But then all of a sudden, boom, we see something like that online. And then so I spoiled myself, now you guys too, a little bit. Because I try to keep it like a secret. Let me surprise. Let me just surprise.
I mean, if it's on YouTube, you know, it's probably public.
It's gotta be true.
Yeah.
So it was on my first page. You know, I open up, boom, I saw it, and like, damn.
They got us. They got you.
I need to check what is it. And then maybe it's a fake, right? And then all of a sudden I saw it. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder if like Marvel's purposely leaking stuff to the public to get a little extra publicity boost.
They hired someone to do this.
Disney owns the media.
Endgame, they said also don't spoiler, please, no one are allowed to say what happened. Of course some people, right? But most of the time I saw always posts like no one is allowed to speak about it, maybe Iron Man. So and then all of a sudden it's like, it was good too, you know. So I feel like It could, but now, okay.
Spider-Man team. Hello.
Yeah. I love when V Dan said Andrew Garfield. We all went, okay. Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. The first one's like, second one was good. Electro,
the best suit.
Best suit.
Yeah, no, it was pretty good.
Best suit. When Stacy, oh my god, Emma Stone, I love her.
That was crazy.
Yeah, the scenes like in the comic, you know, there's no way the other way. And then, it's amazing. Like, the visuals are amazing. The fights are amazing. Electro is slow motion. First time you saw like this kind of X-Men, you know, and X-Men is also like the speed guy.
Quicksilver.
It's not slow motion. Spider-Man was the first. Electro, when he was in the Times Square, right? And he's shooting and shooting like this one, right? And split all the stuff. There was all the slow motion stuff.
It
was the first time. And he got like his arrest. And then later, X-Men dropped, and then Quicksilver did the same. So for me, it's the first time you've seen action like that, action design. So it's like, wow.
That was before Days of Future Past, right? No, that was before that X-Men film, right?
Yes. When he has this moment, everyone was like,
but they didn't have the cool soundtrack, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true. The Time in a Bottle. True, yeah, they didn't have that one yet.
Electro soundtrack, when he comes, the really crazy stuff is fucking good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is good. Oh my gosh, I love this movie.
Yeah, so, like,
while we're on the topic of Spider-Man, I'd love to segue into our last segment here. So this is a thing that we call the 5-second fight club. So we're going to offer you guys some hypothetical fights, and then you have 5 seconds to tell us who would win and why. So first one that we have for you guys is the battle of the movie Spider-Man. So we have Tobey Maguire Spider-Man versus Andrew Garfield Spider-Man versus Tom Holland Spider-Man. Who wins?
Tom Holland.
Tobey Maguire, because he has the most heart.
Okay. I like all this right, guy. Right.
Thinks for himself. Tom Holland is always relying on the Avengers or being Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
And plus, though,
he's a younger guy.
Yeah. I like. For me, it's Tom Holland.
Black suit.
I mean, it depends on fighting, or do you mean like character?
Who would you want to win?
Who would win? Yeah.
Oh, Toby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In this case, yeah, of course, because he's more older.
Spider-Man.
The webs actually come out from his.
That's true. That's true. Right?
Yeah, it's believable. That's true.
Yeah.
I, in my film school, I had to write over like this kind of topics, and there was also I found out why they decide to do this one.
Why?
It's organic.
Organic.
Oh yeah.
That time when I you know, this concept of Spider-Man was already 30 years in developing. They wanted to plant already 30 years, like in the '80s.
Yeah, it was development hell.
And they're waiting for the technology to get better to make the movie. That was the goal. And they decided at that time, James Cameron wrote one of the scripts, right? The latest script, which got pitched and approved, and then they built up. He wrote about the organic web shooter.
They kept that?
Yeah, we kept it because they thought a 16-year-old boy has never managed to be so smart to build, creating, it's not believable to create a web shooter. So at that time, they developed a thought because there's the biggest company, right? They cannot do that, right? Why can a 16-year-old boy do this?
So then he's just so smart, you know. It happens.
Yeah. That was part of the comics. Was them saying that the spider bite like gave him the knowledge to be able to create that?
Yes. But in the comics, yeah, for sure they have a web shooter. Yeah. For everyone who's a fan, who's like, oh, that sucks, right? But I was trying to get not only for the fans to please all the audience.
Wider audience, yeah.
It makes sense. There's spiders. We can shoot from the gas.
Okay.
All right.
We have another Spider-Man matchup for you guys,
Since you guys said Tobey Maguire would win, I said Tobey Maguire versus Finger Spider-Man.
Who?
Oh, Finger Spider-Man?
Finger Spider-Man.
I need a little short film.
Oh,
as an excuse to whatever COVID shorts. I appreciate you guys doing your research.
Of course.
Let's go. This is fun.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Next one is the Shaolin Stooges, which is Joseph along with Will and Richie versus the Three Dragons, who's Yuan Biao, Jackie Chan, and Sammo Hung.
Oh, definitely Jackie.
Yeah.
trying to imitate 10% of what they do.
It was a good 10%. It was really, really good stuff that you made there.
Thank you.
All right, next up we have Gangster Mulan versus John Wick.
John Wick. Definitely. I mean, a gun, bam.
Yeah, John Wick.
Dead. Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's true.
I'm sorry, but, you know, guns can't beat that. Yeah.
Next one, we have Kraven the Hunter versus Venom.
Venom.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Do you guys like Kraven? I love Kraven. I'm a big Kraven fan.
Damn.
Something more.
No, they're Venom fans, so come on.
Final word. Venom is my one of my favorite character. 100%.
Yeah.
Venom's cool.
Yeah, fucking cool.
We got next Samurai Champloo's Mugen versus Spike Spiegel Cowboy Bebop.
Mugen.
Yeah.
100% Mugen. Yeah,
Cowboy
Bebop.
Yeah.
Mugen.
Wow. Easy.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Joseph Lee versus the Delta variant.
Data room?
It's the new virus in the US, I think.
Oh, data virus.
Yeah. But it's referring to the short that Joseph made.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Joseph. I said Joseph.
Yeah.
We can't say the Delta variant.
Yeah. The blood has the immune, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The antibodies are strong. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Next up, we have.
Yes, last one.
Yeah. Darth Maul versus Donnie Yen with a lightsaber.
Donnie Yen.
Really? Damn.
Yeah. Yes. Jackie Chan or Jet Li?
Oh, man.
Yeah, tough. Okay, I have to say this is my dream. Jet Li.
Jackie can fly, pretty much.
Jackie is like...
Oh, he's got...
Oh, dude, I didn't tell you a story. Yeah. Okay, that's very funny. You know, obviously, you know, I'm one of Jackie Chan's son team. When I work on Into the Badlands, the whole team is from Yuen Vong Ping. Okay, Yuen Vong Ping, Master Didi. And Yuen Vong Ping, Master Didi is one of their very long member from Yuen Vong Ping. He is obviously the team for Jet Li. And for a long time, he did Iron Monkey, Tai Chi Master, all the classic, Wong Fu Hung, everything. He is the fight coordinator / action producer for the show, Into the Badlands. Action director as well. And when I came there with my team, a t-shirt, and they look at me, oh!
Like JC, you,
yeah, JC,
everything.
Yeah, and oh! Jackie Boy. They called me a Jackie Boy at that time. And everyone, Wuxia style. And then, it really, for me, it was like crazy. I love them. They're like now my brothers. But it was really, literally hard in the beginning to adapt their style. Because Jackie's more like very fast, right? The rhythm pace.
The rhythm.
Yeah. For them, no. Slow. No, not too fast. No, you have to look. Always look. Okay, but that guy is us. You have to dance with the people. You're bigger style. You go more beautiful. You go to flowers and all the stuff. And then you have to read the rhythm with the other guys. This is the really like a Wu Yung Wu King style and Jet Li style. And I was like, damn, but that was fucking cool because
it's really exciting. Yeah.
There and then just like two worlds clash. And then I heard some stories, we both Forbidden Kingdom here and there.
Rivalry.
Yeah, the teams that hate each other.
Rivalry. And Jackie and Jet love each other.
Yeah, they like each other. It's so funny. And but my heart, because I met Jet Li once also in Hong Kong, but not work wise. I met him because of I was working, but he was as a visit. He came for a barbecue. Jet Li is my hero, my childhood hero when I was younger with all his movies, Shaolin Temple. This is the reason why I also learned wushu and trained, and he was my idol. Of course, Jackie too, for the movie, but as a martial artist, definitely Jet Li. Yeah.
Wow.
Because he was very disciplined, very hard worker in wushu and martial arts.
But the picture,
it's martial spirit.
Picture with Jet.
Yeah,
remember?
As the story.
Oh, you have a picture. You have a picture with Jet.
Yeah, I have a picture. Yeah, I'll show you guys.
Oh wow!
But he geeked out more.
That's like this. When I worked with a couple of celebrity people, Daniel Craig or whatever, right? Ryan Reynolds. For me, it's like, oh, crazy. But still, keep professional. You know, we are worker. We are colleagues. So it's like, hey, can I have a picture? Can you sign me? Autograph. It's just always like professional. Always. Even when I see Jackie, of course, I like all his movies I saw in my head, right? I saw him in real life. But I still try to be, oh my gosh, this is Jackie. And I always observing and then just be calm. But Jet Li, when he came to barbecue on a rooftop in Hong Kong, because I work for his management for like action design, whatever. And then they knew, they found out I'm a big fan from Jet Li, of Jet Li. So he said, okay, you know what? You will meet him one day. I said, really? Yeah, I said, they're joking. And one day we were at a barbecue, and then they invite, everyone's there. And then,
they were joking.
He's coming. I said, yeah, he's joking. All of a sudden, the doors open, and then there was Jet Li. Oh. And I was like, I forget all my profession. I take a picture. I need a picture. And I was just look at my face.
Oh, wow. You had the little goatee, too.
I was a fanboy. I forgot all my principles. I fucked it.
He said, what do you do?
I was like, I was smiling the whole time. I was like, Like this, I was observing, I sit in the corner, like, oh my God, it's just the audience. Yeah. Can I have a picture? You know, that was, yeah, I was like my dream, my biggest dream, you know, to meet
him. That's so crazy.
Yeah. Because for Jackie, for example, I wanted to, because of some people, he was sometimes touring to Germany sometimes, right? And you can like a red carpet, you sit in the behind the fan show, hey, Jackie, you know, like that. But for me, mm-hmm. it was always a goal. When I see Jackie or meet Jackie, I want to have him in a little personal contact, no? Personal contact, like kind of working with him, or so he's aware of what I'm doing. That was always my goal, and not be like too a fanboy. And all of a sudden, like many years, and then all of a sudden happened. And but gently, I actually never had the feeling I want to work with him. As for me, he was my hero. I looked up, you know, I how he moves, how he act, how he does his his life philosophy and Buddhism. For me, that's my hero. So I just want to see him as an idol, and that's it. Mm. Or like a hero I'm looking for.
Because you said when you start working for them, it's like it changes for you. Yeah.
There's a saying. They're saying like you never meet your star, right? Or your hero. Yeah, but this of course, one thing that I noticed was a bit weird. It was very, very weird for me. He was smoking. A lot.
Jelly.
Oh, wow.
But for me, it was like, oh, that is crazy. I thought he's not smoking. You know, because I'm not smoking.
Yeah.
But that's like one of the things. But of course, it's okay. It's not a big deal. Yeah. Chinese, always smoking. And
how I felt when I met Vidan for the first time. I thought you were taller.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Jelly shrunk because of the smoking? Wasn't there that picture that surfaced of him like a while back or something, and he looked really old or something like that, and then people were questioning. I don't know. It was something like that.
He was sick. Yeah. Not the cancer, but he had something in his.
Okay.
This was that time. Yes.
Really?
Went a little bit outside. His face, everything blew up a little bit. Yeah. That's very bad. That's very. That was really, really bad.
But when he did Mulan, he was okay.
Yeah.
Which
is good. Okay. This was 2013.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a long time ago. Yeah, I mean, I saw the goatee and everything. I was like, it's a different bee.
He just recovered a little bit after his sickness, his illness. He just recovered slowly. But it was the time he, most of people, even him, he thought he will die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crazy. He changed his life as well. You don't see him on screen because he just wants to be with his family. And he's very like a Buddhist, all about peace. He doesn't do any wushu anymore, more tai chi. He's thinking a lot, meditating, and it's amazing. It's really amazing. He's very calm. He was not that before. He was very also like about money and then trying to get a career, you know, self-doubting and then trying to push. But then when this happened, and when his family, I think you heard about, right, when he got in Taiwan, I think it was Taiwan, they got like a tsunami.
Yeah, and he had to save his daughters.
He saved his daughters. That changed his life.
Oh, wow.
180, yeah.
Really? It was like a 180 degree flip.
And then after that, he quit everything. He said no martial art, nothing anymore. Of course, he did like little parts like Expendables, but especially that only act. And acting some 3 beats, the rest is doubles. And he just spent his time and all of us here for charity, family, and it's his life.
Wow, that's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Big change. I saw there was a different actor that did something similar, but not like Chow Yun-fat. Yeah, Chow Yun-fat did. And it was like he donated all his money to charity. Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy.
Shouts to those guys.
Yeah.
Big shouts. Not that they need shouts. They're pretty big already.
Shout out on the podcast.
We have one last question for you guys. If people were interested in what you're doing or any upcoming works from you, where could they look?
Oh, well, currently together we're working under Andy Chang on a live action.
We can say
live action anime. In Budapest.
Okay.
Actually, just before this podcast, we're editing the footage, and right after we have
get
back from that training. But
what year in Budapest now?
For recess, just to have fun with you guys, and
we appreciate it.
Yeah, and you asked for like links to follow or like where to find.
Where people can find you. Yeah,
yeah, you can find me Joseph Lay. Just type in my name, Google. I should be up there. Joseph Lay Films and Team Red Pro on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And then...
Yeah, for me, it's Vidan, right, on Instagram. T7 Production is on YouTube. It's kind of my company. And same, just hit us up. And we're always keen and open for any context.
Yeah. And thank you guys for having us on. It honestly felt like we're just talking right next to you.
And
making it like relax and... You know, and said like you didn't prepare for this.
I didn't really.
Yeah. And it's a lot of style in a nutshell.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Keep it real.
I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Keep it real.
Yeah. And the best part was Spider-Man. So that was the best part for me.
Always the best part. Always the best part.
Love talking about Spider-Man.
All day, Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
If you liked that, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/actionfilmmaking and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Stay up to date on the show by visiting our website, actiondecoded.com, and by following us on Instagram at actionfilmmakingpodcast. Until next time, thanks for listening.